talk sports, Fox Sports. You should check the box score. Bought a house in Concord adjacent to the golf course. Bentley, cut the mic off. Hey. You ain't sick, you just wanna take some time off. Hey, we talking Tennessee, we bleeding orange hair. We talking sports right up underneath the sun's fair. He got hot takes, Cody McClure. John Reed on the farm, walk around in manure. Hey, Fox Sports Knoxville, 865. This is Talk Sports and we about to go live. Fox Sports Knoxville, 865. This is Talk Sports and we about to go live. Bentley, cut the mic off. You wasn't sick, you just wanna take some time off. Bentley, cut the mic off.
Hour 3 headlines brought to you by our friends at the McKinney team with Keller Williams. 865-548-8267. If you want to talk to Travis McKinney personally, ZillowKnoxville.com to view their listings. They have one simple philosophy when it comes to dealing with real estate. The clients come first. I know from experience. I frequently share some of their postings. They got some beautiful homes that they list to sell. The McKinney team on Instagram, on Twitter, if you're there. You can see the postings right when they get listed and get in line. They usually don't stay on the market very long. All right, Parker, you are making the move to the drive. You will be doing their blatant ripoff of headlines. Your first batch went okay. Have you remembered to start the podcast this time?
Yes, I have.
Okay. That's good. That's a step in the right direction, Parker. I don't need you to think that I'm dumb or being mean for asking you that because you forgot to do it. You lose the moral high ground.
Cody doesn't have to do that.
That's true. You're going to have to do it with the drive, though. You're going to be doing the podcast and the headlines. That's
Parker, you should know by now, Cody has the absolute least responsibility of anybody on the show.
Well,
comparing yourself to him, that's a low bar.
He has to deal with this vent blowing in his face.
That is true. You are freezing right now, and you won't have to deal with that on the drive, but just suck it up. You're going to be doing their blatant ripoff of headlines, so you need to get good at it. Let's go.
And speak with your chest.
Hour 3 headlines. Okay. Let's go. Let's see what you got.
All right. 7-foot Arizona center, Euros Plazvic,
okay,
committed to Tennessee Friday night. Plazvic, who attended high school at Hamilton Heights Christian Academy in Chattanooga.
I didn't like his stats from his time in high school. Like, I know he hasn't really done anything at Arizona State. He was redshirting this year. I saw that he was, like, averaging 9 points and, like, 7.5 rebounds in Chattanooga as, like, a 7-footer. I feel like you should have better numbers than that in high school. Now, granted, like, you know, you can develop and get bigger. Apparently, he's put on, like, 25 pounds of weight, so we'll see. But Tennessee picks up a 7-footer. Do you know if he's eligible this year? I've seen different things.
I think he redshirted, but I've not seen whether or not he's
immediately eligible.
Yeah.
I would assume he is, but I don't know. We'll see.
But he'll be the fourth forward to commit to the Vols in the 2019 class.
Okay. All right.
Rafael Nadal defeats Novak Djokovic in 3 sets yesterday in the Italian Open. With the French Open beginning Sunday, Rafa is the heavy favorite with 11-10 odds, followed by Novak Djokovic at 13-5 and former runner-up Dominic Thiem at 6-1.
Where is Nadal currently at in terms of streak for the French? Did he miss it a couple years ago with an injury?
He was injured in 14 and 15.
Okay.
And I think he lost them both those years. And then Roger beat him in like 09.
But since he's won every other one besides that.
He's won 12 of the last 15.
So he is obviously the king of clay and is the favorite here. No reason to think he loses. Like, I mean, if I'm asking you now, Rafa or the field?
I'd take Rafa.
Really?
He just beat Novak pretty handedly. So
okay. It'd be nice to see somebody beat him, but I mean, it's kind of cool every year to watch him just dominate a tournament. Why is he so much? I mean, obviously, I know that clay makes the ball bounce lower, right? I mean, it makes it slower.
Yeah. He puts a lot of spin and arc on his shot. So, I mean, that helps a lot on clay.
So, with the spin, I guess he's keeping it lower.
He hits the ball so much harder.
Yeah. Uh-huh. But then keeps it and it doesn't bounce.
And he's so quick.
Right. Okay.
Browns' Kareem Hunt gets baptized. The Cleveland Browns went out on a limb for Kareem Hunt in February, signing the former Kansas City Chiefs running back just months after his release and the surfacing of a video in which he shoved and kicked a woman in a 2017 hotel altercation. Now, with Hunt preparing for his debut in Cleveland, despite an 8-game suspension, the Browns are embracing his path to a restored image. Hunt was at True Vine Baptist Church on Sunday to be baptized, and none other than Browns general manager John Dorsey and head coach Freddie Kitchens showed up as surprise guests.
Well, that's good. I mean, if Kareem Hunt is going to get his life on track, I mean, I think everyone would like to see that. I do think we like second chance stories. Kareem Hunt's going to have to prove it through his actions and, you know, obviously can't get in trouble again, but it's a good story. Now, like I said, hopefully it's Kareem Hunt actually getting his life on track and not pulling the whole Adam Pac-Man Jones thing where he acts like he's getting on track and then finds himself back in trouble constantly, but good for Kareem Hunt. Say he wanted to get baptized and get basically his sins washed away and start anew. Say he wanted to be reborn, so good for him.
Vikings to end with season 6.
No, wait, what? Vikings, the TV show?
Vikings. History's Vikings to end with season 6.
So this is the last season coming up?
Yes, this is...
So Ben just told me they're rolling strong and everything's fine, and now the... Was this planned? Like, apparently it wasn't, because Ben did not realize that it was about to end. Like, they just out of ideas? Like, are they out of source material?
I did not see this coming at all. It was tough when I ended the segment and clicked over and saw, no, Ben, it is falling apart.
Oh, no.
apparently their viewership is down like WWE's. They said they're looking to get around 3 million viewers.
Okay.
And in the article I was reading, it said they're down at like 2, a little bit less.
I would imagine Game of Thrones really...
really stole the thunder.
Yeah.
Yeah, it says there's a follow-up series in development, but yeah. Not good for Vikings.
Okay.
They've got a reboot coming.
Well, it's like I say, man. I'm over it. There's no more shows that should make it past season 6. Season 6 should be the cutoff. I say season 5, I'll give you a 6th season, but no more 7s and 8s for nothing. Nothing gets that. I mean, sitcoms or whatever, I get that it's easier to do. I mean, what was the what season was the Big Bang Theory on when it ended up? Was it on 10, 11? Like, what was it on?
It was over 10 or 11, I think.
Sitcoms are a little bit easier because they're just supposed to be lighthearted or whatever, but maybe they have different rules. But for anything else, you get 6 seasons max. That's it.
Their final, 12. Their finale was season 12, episode 24.
Friends had what, 10?
Friends had 10.
What'd Seinfeld have, like 9?
I believe Seinfeld had 9. The Office had 9.
What season are they on of Always Sunny?
Oh, God.
I need to know what season they're on in Always Sunny, because I feel like...
They've been going on forever.
I thought they were about done, but the last 2 seasons have been pretty good. Sitcoms maybe have a different rule, but anything else...
What about Lost?
I don't know. I've never watched it. How many seasons did it go to?
I checked out.
Lost did 10 or 11, I'm pretty sure.
They did too many, and plus network TV is way different too, because I think you do more episodes for those. But either way, like, everyone says Lost got old. Like, tell your story in 6 seasons. If Breaking Bad and The Sopranos can do it, you can do it. Like, The Wire got done in 5 seasons, and really the 5th one was average. Tell me your story in 5 or 6 seasons, then get out.
It looks like they're currently in their 14th season.
Always Sunniest?
Yeah, through 13, wow. They have 144 episodes.
A lot. I checked out like season 7, but then I came back for the last 2 seasons. They've been pretty good.
They were on one
I
of those.
I checked out when Matt got fat.
They were on one of those streaming services for a while, and I tried to watch. But yeah, like after like the 3rd or 4th, I was like, okay, I think I've seen this enough.
I really liked it, and then Matt got fat, and then I also got a little older, and I was like, okay, I'm out for a little bit. But I came back, and the last 2 seasons have been really good. All right, next headline, please, Parker. Doing great so far. This last batch of headlines has been great.
All right. Game of Thrones finale frozen out in China by trade fight. Chinese viewers fume as finale is scrubbed.
So we're like in a trade war with China now. So we basically waited till they got to the end of the series. Like, all right, now you don't get your Game of Thrones finale. I mean, we're just begging for cyber attacks here, right? We are begging the Chinese to hack.
Yeah, they want in our system now.
I feel like this is a dangerous thing, but okay, let's see if it gets us any leverage. If anyone's listening in China, you didn't really miss anything. Spoiler alert.
Better.
Spoiler alert, Bran gets to sit on the throne, even though no one wants Bran on the throne. I thought maybe, Parker, that there would be a moment where we realized Bran had been evil, and had basically done every bad thing in history and helped all of this lead to him getting ultimate power. And I was thinking, you know what? I can live with that reveal. Whenever they said, you know, you can be king, and he was basically like, why do you think I came here? I thought he's going to say, boom, this has been my plan.
The whole time.
Yeah, he didn't do it. At the end of the episode, when they asked where Drogon was, he's like, I'll find him. I thought he was about to warg, and we'd see something cool there, but instead he just rolls out, and we don't know where Drogon is. I thought something cool was about to happen then. Nothing cool happened. God, that finale was so awful.
So many cliffhangers.
Not even cool cliffhangers, though, just loose ends. If they're not good cliffhangers, Parker, they're called loose ends.
Okay,
just loose so ends. Many terrible loose ends. I'm so mad about it. At 10 years. 10 years down the drain.
Well, were you invested for 10 years?
No. But, I mean, these actors' lives were. I feel bad for Kit Harington.
You're probably, what, 4 or 5?
I mean, yeah, every bit of 5. I mean, how do you think Jon Snow felt? The actor who played Jon Snow, his whole life, he's thinking, okay, I mean, how old is he? He's got to be like 30. So, I mean, a third of his life, he's like, I'm in this really cool show. I'm the coolest character. I'm going to get to kill the Night King. I'm going to get to be the last king. Nope. Doesn't kill the Night King. Gets sent off to live with his redheaded buddy.
The whole story is like, he's the true heir.
The true heir, and basically the chosen one, and none of that actually comes into play. Him being the true heir was basically only meant to drive his lover crazy. That was pretty much it. The big reveal that he was Targaryen and the rightful heir was basically only used to give this woman, Daenerys, reason to go crazy. That was pretty much it. And damn it, I'm getting more angry the more I talk about it. Next headline, please. Next headline, please!
All right. 2020 commit Ebony Jackson decommits from the University of Tennessee yesterday. I believe it was yesterday, right?
It was over the weekend. Yeah. It was over the weekend. So Ebony Jackson, he was that low 3-star that was really, really fast, though, right? Like, was it his thing that he was?
He was 6'1", 205, so.
Okay, I was going to say I thought he was really fast. Maybe I'm wrong on that. He was a low 3-star or a mid 3-star. I don't know. He was a 3-star. Didn't have a lot of offers. I did see where he picked up an offer from Alabama. Yep. So, like, I do think he is going to be someone who trends properly. This decommitment, though, raises some red flags, or at least his reason for the decommitment should raise some red flags. We'll talk about that next. Stick with us as Talk Sports on Fan Run Radio. All right, Ebony Jackson was a 3-star running back who, when he was initially committed to Tennessee, didn't get anyone really excited. I mean, as a guy you looked at in terms of, I mean, he's nice to have. We'll see if he's here, you know, when the class comes around. He wasn't someone who was highly rated. He wasn't very, you know, very heralded as a commitment. Now, then you see Alabama make a play for him, which makes me think that now you'll see him very quickly move from, you know, middle of the pack, 3-star, 500th player ranked nationally according to 247 Sports Composite. I'd be willing to guarantee that he will rise to the top 300 and become a 4-star pretty quickly.
Yeah.
Once he gets that, you know, offer from Alabama. From Marietta, Georgia, you know, Tennessee has obviously recruited Georgia really well. Ebony Jackson, when asked about his decommitment, had some really interesting comments. Some that I think, if true, at least the accusation, is something that concerns me. The 6'1", 205-pound running back out of Marietta, had a spring game last week. Jackson suffered an injury. He hurt his forearm. He broke his forearm on a block. And he said that he was a little disappointed in how the Tennessee coaches handled that situation. His quote says, Tennessee was at my spring game and I got hurt on the fifth play of the game. I broke my forearm on a block, and the Tennessee coaches left right after that without checking on me. I was just bothered by that. It just didn't feel good. I thought they would check on me, see how I was feeling or something like that. I know they like me as a player, but I want them to like me as a person too. I just wanted them to care more about me and how I was doing. How I felt after that is really why I opened things back up.
That does feel bad. I don't know. I can't think of any other word. It's just like they just wandered off. They just walked out. Like, oh, guy got hurt. He's out on the field. I mean, like, I kind of, that sounds like they just stood up and got out. Like, didn't even like wait for him to even like get helped up off the field or anything.
It's not a good look, right? I mean, I don't think you can make the argument that. Just completely walking out on a prospect is a good look. Now, maybe there's something there where the coaches wouldn't want other coaches on the sideline as they're trying to deal with his injury or whatever. Who knows? But you would think if they traveled that way to see him, they would at least tell him bye on the way out.
Yeah. Not just watch him go down and then, you know, just wander out, no questions asked.
Especially, like I said, like this is a three-star.
But rising up boards.
Right? I mean, Alabama just got in on him, like, yeah, last week or the week before. So, I mean, like, he's obviously a guy who is going to project well. If Alabama wants you, that's usually a pretty good indication, right, that you are going to be a good football player. I think they've earned that benefit of the doubt.
Yeah. I'd say that's fair.
Now, maybe the relationship had already soured. Although if Tennessee's coaches were there, they were at least trying to do something, right?
Yeah.
Either trying to talk to him, trying to let him know that they still wanted him, trying to do something.
I'd like to know what coaches were there on the recruiting visit.
That's a good question, too, because I don't think it says specifically who it was. So that is a good question, Ben.
So, like, I know for a fact, like at least I would think that Pruitt would have more sense than to just, like, all right, well, he's out of here. Let's go. You know what I mean? Like, if it was a lower level guy, like the running backs coach or wide receivers coach, and he was just kind of like, you know, just there and kind of viewing and trying to get a better look, and the kid goes down. If I'm him, I'm like, yep, job's done. Time to go.
I feel like it's more important for those guys to try to, you know, form the relationships, because usually it's those coaches who are
with you all the time.
Yeah, who are supposed to have the better relationship with you, right? Like, now, granted, if it's one of those coaches, I'd probably feel a little bit better about it than whether it's Jeremy Pruitt not giving this kid enough, you know,
yeah,
enough attention or showing him any type of humanity. I think Jeremy Pruitt's a good enough recruiter to know that that's not the way to go.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I don't think my man Moose was out there doing that. I think he has obviously shown that he can form relationships with people. So, yeah, finding out what coaches it was that left is a interesting dynamic to it. But, man, like, to have a prospect come out and say that, and, I mean, correct me if I'm wrong, but I feel like Marietta, Georgia is somewhere that you need good relationships.
Yeah, we're in there all the time.
I mean, isn't that almost the scariest part?
That is where we get a lot. Like, that's Tennessee's main Georgia feeding hole, I'd say.
That's where Harrison Bailey's from? It feels like you should. I mean, Ramel Keaton was from there too, right?
Yeah.
Ramel Keaton and Harrison Bailey's like two of your biggest prospects. Now, Harrison Bailey hasn't signed yet.
Dobbs was from there.
Who?
Oh, and he's Alpharetta, Georgia.
Yeah, yeah. But, I mean, we've had good players come from Marietta. I feel like that's a place you need to be on your best behavior. You can do that in, you know, West Virginia, or if you're in some little small town in North Carolina where you're checking out a prospect whenever, you know. Not granted, West Virginia and North Carolina where you got, you know, two of your biggest prospects in Crouch and
But those were both, like, outliers in those states.
And Darnell Wright, yeah.
Like, Darnell Wright was one of three players that were worth a damn in West Virginia.
Maybe we'll recruit more in Charlotte in the future, but I don't know how many more times we're going to run into Huntington, West Virginia, and try to grab a player out of, right?
Yeah.
I do feel like we're going to go back to the well and try to get some players out of Marietta, Georgia. Now there are always. There are always two sides of the story.
Maybe we were there to pull the scholarship.
No, I think now. Let's see. I mean, this story is just now getting reported. This kid just said that.
Mm-hmm.
So I mean, there are talks about it on the internet. People are going back and trying to get more information to it. Now that you know, Austin Price at VolQuest is saying Tennessee did reach out to the kid, family, and coach after his injury. Coaches can't go up and check on the kid because that would be a bump violation. I don't know what a bump violation is.
Yeah. Too many rules in NCAA recruiting. Just let it be a free-for-all. Let's just pay the kids.
Well, I mean, I feel like you should be able to go check on a kid if he gets hurt.
Yeah.
Although if it's a violation, it's a violation. Maybe it is, whatever. The kid obviously felt some type of way about it, and the kid decommitted about it. If they caught and checked on him, they didn't tell the kid, hey, we just legally can't do that. And also, you could say, hey, I didn't check on you, but hey, I'm going to check in with your parents, right? The first thing I'm going to go do is talk to mom and dad or brother and sister and uncle, whoever's with the kid. I don't know his family dynamic. I'm going to make sure that whoever your guardian is knows that
face.
I check on you. I'm going to talk to your coaches and make sure they know, hey, please let Ebony know that I care about him. Please let Ebony know I want to talk to him, but I can't. Obviously, the message didn't get relayed because he decommitted and said these coaches don't care about me.
Yeah, if you're them, you definitely need to get in front of somebody that's connected or something and just be like, look, can't do it, but just want to let you know we're thinking about him, want to make sure he's okay, all that stuff.
Yeah, there are ways to immediately let somebody know. Coaches, parents.
T's and P's.
Give a kid $5 to go check on him and say, hey, I just want you to know the Tennessee coaches said they're worried about you. Like, there's got to be some ways around checking on someone who gets injured. If not, this should be an NCAA rule that gets immediately taken away.
Yeah.
If someone gets hurt and the coaches can't say, hey, I'm feeling for you, still love you. The location is what bothers me here. Not only the location, but also that, you know, the running back is probably going to be really good. I know he was one that we didn't really get excited for when he committed here, but again, when Alabama starts warning you, maybe one of the takeaways we should have from this story, if you're looking for positives, and maybe I'm being too negative, I don't know. I just do think it's a bad story and a crucial recruiting part for Tennessee. But the good news is, like, Tennessee's first on a guy.
That's coming up.
Tennessee's been pretty good at spotting talent recently. They're getting kind of, you know, vindicated with this guy getting an Alabama offer. They're looking, saying, yeah, you know what? You do fit the Alabama mold. And then there was Art Green, who, you know, you found him, and then all of a sudden he went from unranked to number one JUCO player in the country. You are at least finding talent. Good job. We'll see what happens. That's a bizarre reason for decommitting. It's a bizarre story.
I mean, I don't think it's too bizarre for a reason to decommit. Because, I mean, like, every school everywhere is always like, oh, we're family, like, these are going to be my, like, you guys come here, and you're basically my son. Like, we love you, like, we would love any of our kids.
Yeah, I guess I didn't mean to say it's bizarre in that sense that, like, I completely understand it from Ebony Jackson. Like, if you feel like you have a good relationship and you don't come check on me after I get hurt, that's going to piss me off, too.
Yeah.
So, like, I don't mean it from that standpoint. I just mean it's bizarre that this is even a thing. It's bizarre that he decommits and immediately says that, I guess, although maybe that's just normal. Maybe that I should expect these guys to be honest when they do it. Maybe it's just bizarre that Tennessee coaches drop the ball here, if they drop the ball. Now, again, like I said, Austin Price from VolQuest said it's a bump violation. I don't know what the hell bump violation is. Apparently neither did Ebony Jackson. We'll play winners and losers of the weekend next. Stick with us. It's Talk Sports on Fan Run Radio.
Out alongside Kevin Lilu. You know we go.
For the longest while we're jamming in the party, and you're waiting on me.
All right, it's 11:30 in Memphis, 12:30 here in Knoxville. It's 12:30. It's time for winners and losers of the weekend. This is the last time we will ever play it at 12:30.
I mean, we could still play it at 12:30 whenever we move. It would just be like in the first hour, not the third.
I mean, I guess we could. Maybe we should, I guess. I don't know. I usually like it. Maybe I only like it at 12:30 at this time because it recaps the show, kind of recaps the weekend for the lunch crowd. But, hell, maybe you're right, Ben. Maybe we should go ahead and hop into winners and losers of the weekend.
And just use that as our base to start.
Early in hour one, although, I mean, maybe. I don't know. I'll think about it because I do feel like it's a good way to kind of refresh the show in hour three if you're just joining us. Although maybe we're going to have to change our line of thinking whenever we make the switch May 28th because, you know, you want 12 o'clock to be really strong for lunch. I don't know. We'll see. Anyway, hit the music.
Winners and losers. Winners and losers. Winners and losers.
You have a good choir boy voice.
Winners and losers.
You have a traditional choir boy voice.
I'm not confident enough right here.
I could picture you coming out and belting out some Amazing Grace. Like Cody's voice, you could tell has seen some things. Cody's voice has seen some things when it comes to performing. Your voice is choir boy voice. Like you both have good voices. His is more of the type I'd like to listen to. He's got some stories to tell. You're just spreading the gospel. Not that it's a bad thing.
I'm not confident in this situation. I think if I had some accompaniment, I would feel better.
I'm saying you had a good voice, but it was just a choir boy voice, which is okay.
I can go rocker, but
did you guys get any winners and losers ready or no? I guess it's just
I got 3-3.
Okay, good. Hit me with your winners of the weekend, Ben Lee.
My third winner of the weekend, Bailey from WWE.
Oh, she good is one now, by you.
She is now the first women's Grand Slam champion.
Oh, I didn't even notice that last
huge
night.
Huge winner of the weekend.
She's won all four women's belts as she, spoiler alert, cashed in her Money in the Bank briefcase that she won earlier in the night to pin Charlotte Flair, who won her ninth title. She took one of Becky's belts. Becky Lynch had two championships coming in. She had to fight twice.
And she lost one?
She lost one, but she lost it kind of in a schmoz, like someone came in and interfered. So still made her look strong. And then they stayed in there and were beating the hell out of her. And the idea of the Money in the Bank is that you can cash in a title match anytime. So Bayley came out and saved her and ended up taking Charlotte down and used her, you know, contract to cash in and steal Charlotte's belt. Which they're trying to let Charlotte beat Ric Flair's
record or whatever.
Record of 16 championship reigns. So, I mean, last night was just an easy way to add an extra number to that. Although for a brief second, I did think that Bayley was actually going to turn on Becky and be heel Bayley.
Ooh.
Because Becky was getting the hell beat out of her. Help her beat her up, cash in, steal her belt. Becky two belts, comes out with no belts. I did think that might happen, but the little girls love Bayley. So, I mean, I guess you want her to stay as a face. But good job by you, Ben. Good winner of the weekend.
Next up, gonna go with Drake.
Okay,
he was courtside for the game last night, and the curse did not come through. It was in question for a moment as they went to double overtime after holding the Bucks starters to less than 60 points. But Drake, a winner of the weekend, as he doesn't have his curse continue on.
All right,
my biggest winner of the weekend got to be Brooks Koepka.
Okay,
wins his second PGA Championship, and as we said, like. What is it, like four of the last?
I think it's four of the last eight, but I don't know. I don't know the exact number. He's
four
won
of the last
four
eight to ten
in the last 3 years. Yeah.
Yeah. So huge winner of the weekend. I'd say Brooks Koepka is the number one winner.
Not a bad list. I'll give you my winners of the weekend. Number three, Arnold Schwarzenegger. Now I know you might be thinking he got drop kicked.
Yeah.
At an event, but he shook the drop kick off. Got back on Twitter and said, "I thought it was just a little roughhousing that someone had bumped into me. I'm fine." So he was able to eat the dropkick. You know, he's like, what, 71?
Yeah, but still ripped.
He was able to take the dropkick. Didn't bother him. He gets to be in the headlines.
I just thought someone tripped and bumped into me.
And he gets to come out looking more like a badass. So, yeah, he got kicked, but he ate that kick like a snack and said, "Give me more."
That's pretty good.
I thought that was just a fly bumping into me. No big deal. Number two for me, I'll go with Brooks Koepka. Similar reasons. You know, he won a major.
Mm-hmm.
Big deal for him. But my biggest winner of the weekend has to be Deontay Wilder. We opened the show with him. That knockout, the perfect sports moment for 2019. Short, explosive, to the point. Do you have the audio ready?
Yeah, you want
to play it one more time for our lunch crowd.
The knockout?
Yeah, play the knockout. This is after Deontay Wilder said last week, murder is legal in boxing. I'm going to try to do that. That sounds cool. I get to try to kill this guy with no repercussions. And then he gave a knockout punch that almost did just that.
For having the character to throw with him.
Wilder hit presents so hard, they are feeling it in Brazil.
Mamma mia! Mamma mia! Deontay Wilder comes out as his star continues to grow. We love boxing when it's good. We love our heavyweights when they're good. We have an American we can root behind, and he is knocking people out and delivered a vicious shot. He is my biggest winner of the weekend. Ben Lee, hit me with your losers.
All right, my third loser is going to be Tiger. You come in, you win your you win that first Masters and however long, and then you turn around, and you can't even make the cut at the PGA Championship. That's a bad move there. Tiger is the third loser of the weekend.
Okay.
My second loser of the weekend is Mets manager Mickey Callaway, as he is under fire after the Marlins swept them this weekend. New York Mets, who fell the worst five games under fell the season worst five games under 500.
Yeah, that can't be good to get swept by the Marlins.
Yeah. It was the first time since 1967 that New York was held to two or fewer hits in back-to-back games. Big loser of the weekend. My final loser of the weekend is the San Jose Sharks, as they got drilled 5-0 last night to the St. Louis Blues.
Yeah, they are now down, 3-2 in that series?
3-2 in the
series. Head back to San Jose. That was in St. Louis, right, when they got blasted.
Yes.
Yeah, that's not good. My losers of the weekend, number three for me, the Preakness. There was no Kentucky Derby winner there that mattered, I guess. Because the actual winner didn't even race either, did he?
I don't think so. If there's not a Triple Crown guy, nobody cares about the Preakness.
I don't even know if the Triple Crown guy was there. I thought he got scratched from it too. I want to say he did, but I know the actual winner wasn't there. I know it came and went, and no one really talked about it. The biggest highlight was a horse had a jockey fall off of him at the beginning of the race and still was able to beat a couple horses.
So we really don't need the jockeys, is what we're saying.
Basically, that guy got fired.
You don't need to be whipping these horses. They'll just run.
I'm imagining that guy got fired. He fell off, and the horse still ran pretty well without him. So he lost his job. Number two for me was Tyreek Evans. This came out late Friday, but Tyreek Evans, the former Rookie of the Year, former guy, one of John Calipari's last point guards at Memphis, disbanded, you're eliminated, disqualified, I guess, from the NBA. Disqualified/banned. I combined that and made it disbanded, but either way, he is kicked out of the NBA for drugs. It hasn't said what drugs he was doing. There was a long list of potential drugs. It just wasn't weed. You don't get kicked out for weed. You get kicked out for the other stuff. He was doing some other stuff, and he is now DQ'd from the league. He joins the likes of O.J. Mayo. And number one for me, the biggest loser of the weekend. You said it was Hoot.
I said it was Sharks.
The Sharks, okay.
As they got blasted.
You had Tiger on there, okay. Yeah. Mm-hmm. So I just put the PGA in general as my biggest loser of the weekend. They had to be expecting much better. They moved it up this year. They were coming off of a historic Masters where Tiger came out and won. Tiger was the champion. Yet they finish with a four-day event rating that was the exact same as last year, a 1.1 metered market rating, which isn't anything special, especially because they had a big boost on Thursday and Friday when Tiger was up. Tiger was playing. They had a 12% increase from last year, which means it even went down further on Saturday and Sunday. Brooks Koepka kind of ran away with it, and A, he's boring, B, it was never really in doubt, and there was no Tiger. So I will say that the PGA Championship and the PGA in general has to be the biggest loser of the weekend.
Yeah, I mean, I had friends that were going to watch the Fox Den Open instead of watching the PGA Championship this weekend.
That was this weekend in Knoxville?
Yes, sir.
I like it. Thank you for the sir. I appreciate it. nice sign of respect. Supporting locally, that's a good move by your friends. Keep it local. I know last year they were kind of like, hey, we need to make sure this event is good so that we can keep having it. So probably not a good sign for me that I didn't know it was this weekend and that it was the same weekend of like Rhythm and Blooms.
I didn't know it, but like I've got a few friends that are connected in the golf community here in Knoxville, and like one of them was like caddying for a guy, but he didn't make the cut Friday. So he was like, hey, why don't you guys come watch the Fox Den Open? We'll drink on the course.
Kind of feel like they need to cut us a check or something to like help promote it, at least for us to know about it. Our audience probably. I wonder how much of our audience knew it was this weekend.
The Open that was here in Knoxville.
The little golf tournament they had. I had no clue it was this weekend. All right. Good batch of winners and losers. Last call on the other side. Stick with us. Last call is brought to you by our friends at Volunteer Vodka, award-winning vodka distilled in the hills of Tennessee. The third best vodka in the entire world, the best in the continental United States, as judged by the Berlin Spirits Competition. Stop by and pick you up a bottle, $20, at your local package store. If they don't carry it, tell them to carry it. Tell them you want it. Say, you want my money, right? Well, get Volunteer Vodka, and then I'll give you my money. Always appreciate them for their support. Always appreciate them for their vodka. I drank a lot of it this weekend, actually.
Yeah, I love
it. Too much of it.
Probably. I loved seeing your pictures by the fire.
Saturday was great.
Always great. A great view whenever you get the Volunteer Vodka and the fire in the background.
I feel obligated to post it. I feel obligated to post it every time, but it's a great picture.
It's a beautiful picture. I mean, makes me want some every time. I'm like, is it okay if I ask John to come hang out? I mean, I don't know if he wants me there.
I felt bad because we kind of joked about it, but then we didn't actually have people over. But then my friend Will Warren came over. And then, like, you know, he wanted to come hang out.
You were posting pictures of the Beanie Weenies, and I was like, wow.
I know. We had said we were going to eat Beanie Weenies by the fire, and we did just that at 2 a.m. Drunk off of Volunteer Vodka, we shoveled down cold Beanie Weenies down our throat. That happened on Saturday.
The 2 a.m. group text was awesome. Just going to say, it was amazing.
Then I felt bad. I was like, yeah, Ben could have been here. But then I was like, we didn't really have seating because we had a lot of people in town this weekend. My friend came up from Alabama. My girlfriend's brother came in from Nashville for a wedding. And
I mean, I wasn't hurt over it or anything. I mean, I saw the picture. I was like, oh, that looks like a lot of fun.
I mean, I guess I could have said, bring your own chair.
I mean, I'm not to like.
My queen has a real issue with having people over because she feels like she has to provide for them. I'm kind of from the line of if people want to come over, they bring their own stuff. But she cooked everybody dinner.
Wow.
Some chicken parm. It was great. It was expensive, though.
Yeah, see, like, tell Kendall, your queen. Yeah. Sorry.
Oh, yeah. It's fine. I say her name sometimes.
I never know what the rules are.
I say her name sometimes. It's fine.
I can fend for myself. Like, I don't mean to. I don't
That's
need
what
to.
Always tell her.
I don't need to impose.
Like, I get mad. I'm like, if they want to bring something, they can bring it. If not, like, I'm not. I'm letting them come to my house. I'm not buying everybody's stuff all the time.
I'm not trying to impose or anything.
But she wants to be a great host.
Just to give like a little, you know, insight. You know, yeah. if you're like, hey, ever bring your own chairs? I always keep two lawn chairs in my trunk,
awesome.
Just in case.
In case you get invited over for the
just,
fire. Okay?
Well, just in case there's a fire pit that needs to be sat around.
I will make a note of that. And it's a great. She's a great host. And it's one of the things I love about her.
Oh, no.
Me, personally, I'm just like, fend for yourself.
The party at your house, we were well taken care of. I mean, the buffalo chicken dip, the snacks, there's pizza.
She's a good woman.
That was amazing. But, you know, no need to impose. I can bring my own stuff.
I was like, you know what? You cooked all this dinner, which was great, but the Beanie Weenies are what stole the show. Like, I felt so awkward asking her to get me some from the store. She's like, what are those? Like, she hit me with the, what are those? And I was like, you know.
Beanie Weenies.
Beanie Weenies. She's like, no. No, I'm not.
So you had to pick them up, huh?
No, she picked them up, but I had to.
So she still went and got them.
She was at the store. She just
at
had
first
to find
I thought
them.
She was like, "No, I'm cooking all this stuff for you guys. You're not eating damn Beanie Weenies."
I misspelled them. I thought Beanie Weenies were spelled like with bean, basically.
Yeah.
We do this thing now, like when we're at the store. Like we pretty much just look up in the app of the store, and then it'll tell you like where it's at. It's pretty handy.
Mm-hmm.
So like when she makes me a shopping list, she'll make me a list and I just go and it's like, oh, aisle 7, cool, check, aisle 13, awesome.
That's actually really helpful.
So she looked up Beanie Weenies and it's like, I can't find them. So I looked, I couldn't find them. Then I realized they went with the B-E-E-N-I-E instead of B-E-A-N.
And the weenies is two E's at the end too, right?
Right, so I guess they wanted to go with the complete same spelling, except, you know, switch out the B and W. So we found them eventually and ate them, but Volunteer Vodka was great. It was really fun to have at the fire. We loved them. All right, pump the brakes and keep rolling. Cody, you want to go Cody. Wow. Ben, you want to go first or second?
Yeah, it's fine. I can go first.
Let's go. Go ahead, go first.
Teen finds jaw.
Jaw? Okay.
Teen looking for arrowhead finds prehistoric mastodon jaw. A teen searching for arrowheads in southern Iowa found something much bigger, the prehistoric jawbone of a mastodon. The Iowa City Citizen reports that the 30-inch bone belonged to a juvenile mastodon, an elephant-like animal believed to have roamed in Iowa somewhere between 34,000 years ago.
That's kind of cool.
Yeah.
What's a mastodon? That's the big like elephant, like it's woolly mammoth-looking thing, right?
Yeah. I think it's like the step between what the woolly mammoth was and what we have is like a modern-day elephant.
Cool. And where was that at?
It was in Iowa. Southern Iowa.
Oh. That has to be from like what? Like
it says 34,000 years ago.
Sorry, I guess you told me that in the story.
Officials at the University of Iowa Paleontology Repository, which now has possession of the bone, found last week, say the mastodon might have stood around 7 to 10 feet tall. Doesn't seem very big. It's a teen mastodon, I guess, though.
That's pretty cool. So a teenager found that?
Yeah, a teen looking for arrowheads.
How old?
Just says teen.
I was going to tell another story about a teen finding something else on a flight, but as the more I read into that story, this teenager's 15, so I don't know if that kind of feels weird to talk about that
story. What did they find?
That one was about a millionaire getting arrested for flying a teenager. They got into an airplane. He put autopilot on. He got in trouble for doing dirty stuff up there, and I guess the reason he got in trouble is the girl was underage, so now it's let's just move on, I guess. Toronto Raptors and Toronto, I guess the city of Toronto, local business owners make their pitch to keep Kawhi. They have introduced a want 'em, dine 'em, let's re-sign 'em campaign where basically Toronto restaurants are offering Kawhi Leonard free food for life if he re-signs with Toronto. By placing the want 'em and dine 'em badge in your restaurant window, you pledge to offer free food for Kawhi Leonard for life if he re-signs with Toronto.
What if he just signs like a 2-year deal?
That's a pretty good idea. Like, if I'm great idea by you, Bentley. Let's do a 1-1. Let's do a 2-year. I want a player option for year 2. Let's see if we can make this thing work. And then I get all the free food I ever want in Toronto again. That's a great idea by you, Bentley. If I'm Kawhi Leonard, I'm like, deal.
Yeah.
1 year plus a 1-year deal.
I've got plenty of career left.
Let's make this thing happen. Let's run it back. Let's see if we can get over the hump. And the free food, like that's not like a 5-year contract, right? I mean, that's just
For life.
I'm re-signing. That's a great idea.
Yeah,
I mean, not having to pay for food the rest of your life, even if you're rich, is a pretty good feeling.
Oh, that's huge. I mean, I'm sure Rick is reaping the benefits right now, and he still hasn't even signed his contract.
I'm gonna say that every restaurant in Toronto is gonna get bullied into, you know,
doing this.
Putting this badge up, though, right?
Yeah.
Because if you're a local business owner and you aren't offering Kawhi Leonard food, that means you don't care if he stays, and that means that if I was a Toronto resident, I would hate that place.
Yeah.
I'd be like, why are you not doing this? The whole city needs to be behind Kawhi.
Original Spice Girls bus converted into something.
Okay. I mean, I usually like to roll every now and then, but
yes!
Yes. Got you hooked.
Yes.
An Airbnb.
An Airbnb. I feel like brothel might have been cooler, but an Airbnb's probably got more long-term success, right? I'd imagine you could probably charge. I mean, I know they're going to do euros, I would assume, right? Is this in America, or I guess it's your story. Go ahead.
Let's see. Spice Girls superfans have had a chance to spice up their lives. later this month when the girls' band Original Union Jack emblazoned double-decker bus comes up for rent on Airbnb. Let's see. Suzanne Godley, who along with her boss completed the bus overhaul, said the Spice Girls were her childhood obsession. My parents were subjected to my tone-deaf performance as Baby Spice.
Spice. Yeah, I'd imagine that's the one that most girls wanted to be.
It will be available if
a girl's wanted to be Posh Spice as like a 8 or 9 year old, you could tell her that you have done a bad job as a dad if she's wanting to be posh.
Here, I'll go to the Airbnb posting, see if they've got a number up there. It's available
starting
in June.
Big red flag if your daughter is wanting to be Posh Spice.
It's available starting
in June.
I bet
Sporty got some love too. I bet the girls who liked athletics wanted to be Sporty Spice too. Is this in America or overseas?
It's in London.
Okay, that's what I figured.
It's in London. And I still can't find,
what her going rate is?
Yeah, I'm on the website right now. I'm going to try to find some dates that you can pick. Let's see. It's not letting me do anything. Probably really expensive.
I would say that she'll make money in that. I mean, I don't know how many Spice Girls super fans there are these days. Nostalgia will get you, though, I would say, right?
The pictures look pretty cool, actually. Like, the top of the bus is just like a basically full-length bedroom. You have like a couch in there, TV. And then the bottom of the bus has like the living room and everything. And on the wall it says Girl Power lit up. You got a couch, TV, kitchen. Pretty good little spot. You just go and park wherever you want to go.
Good for her for turning her hobby and interest into a potential career. Love to see it. Let's see. We got the Timberwolves finalizing a deal with their coach.
Oh,
he stopped on that. He must have just really been wanting to get the end of the show set up. They are keeping their interim coach. They are keeping
They're
their
just
interim
rolling
coach.
With it.
The son of Flip Saunders. They are keeping Ryan Saunders. He is getting a multi-year deal. Flip Saunders, of course, was a beloved Minnesota coach that passed away pretty suddenly and sadly to cancer. His son kind of coolly got a chance to be the interim coach, and after they fired Tom Thibodeau, and he did pretty well, so they're going to keep him. Pretty cool thing.
That'd be cool.
That'd be cool to kind of go on and feel the legacy of your father.
Yeah.
So good for him. That's a cool feel-good story to end the day on. Great job by you today, Ben Lee.
Thank you.
You filled up in a pinch. Hopefully the big guy's okay. Parker, you did good for us. Enjoy your time on the drive.
I'm still a little worried about Cody.
Yeah, I'm still a little worried about him too, but we'll see. But good job by you, Parker. Thank you for all the help. It's Optionals up next. Stay locked in on Fan Run Radio.